Hi everyone, today is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. My name is Gail E. I am a recovered Al-Anon and will be leading this meeting. We want to welcome everyone to our Al-Anon Big Book Recovery Meeting. This is a step speaker meeting that meets every Wednesday night at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will study the 12 steps by using the precise instructions out of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous as they relate to us as Al-Anons. Let's get our meeting started. Okay, so this is the original AA preamble written by the AA Grapevine describing the fellowship in 1940. We study the preamble with an open mind and an open heart to consider how it applies to Al-Anon. This helps us stay focused on the message of the recovery the pioneers intended while observing the traditions and actions. Through the actions taken based on the instructions of the basic text, we comprehend what the pioneers meant when they described the AA membership, the membership of AA, which is that they worked a program of recovery and they no longer drank. In our case, we no longer obsessed over the alcoholic. Through continuous action and study of these principles, the understanding of the value of the original preamble reveals itself. We ask for your humble consideration of our sincere admiration of the pioneers of Alcoholics Anonymous. The simple hope is that we of Al-Anon will grow into some clarity and unity that birthed the original 12-step fellowship, because without them, after all, none of us would be here. The original AA preamble. We are gathered here because we are faced with the fact that we are powerless over alcohol and unable to do anything about it without the help of a power greater than ourselves. We feel that each person's religious views, if any, are his own affair. The simple purpose of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is to show what may be done to enlist the aid of a power greater than ourselves, regardless of what our individual conception of that power may be. In order to form a habit of depending upon and referring all we do to that power, we must at first apply ourselves with some diligence. By often repeating these acts, they become habitual, and the help rendered becomes natural to us. We have come to know that as alcoholics, we suffer from a serious disease for which medicine has no cure. Our condition may be the result of an allergy, which makes us different from other people. It has been permanently cured by any treatment. Let me read that again. It says, it has never been permanently cured by any treatment with which we are familiar. The only relief we have to offer is absolute abstinence, the second meaning of AA. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Each member squares his debt by helping others to recover. An Alcoholics Anonymous member is an alcoholic who, through the application of and adherence to the AA program, has forsworn the use of any and all alcoholic beverages in any form. The moment he takes so much as one drop of beer, wine, spirits, or any other liquid containing alcohol, he automatically loses all status as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. AA is not interested in sobering up drunks who are not sincere in their desire to stay sober for all time. Not being reformers, we offer our experience only to those who want it. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and on which we can join in harmonious action. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed the program. Those who do not recover are people who will not or simply cannot give themselves to the Simple program. Now, you may like our program, or you may not, but the simple fact remains that it works and, we believe, is our only chance to recover. There is a vast amount of fun included in the AA Fellowship. Some people might be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there lies a deadly earnestness and a full realization that we must put first things first, and with each of us, the first thing is the solution to our alcoholic problem. To drink is to die. Faith must work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. In order to set our tone for this meeting, I ask that we bow our heads in a few moments of silent prayer and meditation, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I wish to remind you that whatever is said at this meeting expresses our own individual opinion as of today and as of up to this moment. We do not speak for AA as a whole, and you are free to agree or disagree as you see fit. In fact, it is suggested that you pay no attention to anything which might not be reconciled with what is in the AA Big Book. If you don't have a Big Book, it is time you bought one. Read it, study it, live with it, follow the directions in it, and learn what it means to be an AA. And that's the end of the preamble. A sponsor is anyone who has had a psychic change as a result of working the steps and has of the willingness to work with others. For those who are a sponsor to guide, for those looking for a sponsor to guide them through the steps, please stay tuned and have your pens ready to record phone numbers immediately after the meeting. Each Al-Anon group ought to be a spiritual entity having but one primary purpose, that of carrying the message to the Al-Anon who still suffers. This is our primary spiritual aim. Our job as a group is to provide people with a place to learn about and work the steps. It has been our experience that working the steps consistently provides us with a better, saner life. We consider all else to be an outside issue. This includes personal problems. The proper venue for sharing such problems is with a sponsor. This is, after all, where the real recovery takes place in the steps with a sponsor, working the steps with a sponsor. We are just so glad we are all here, and we are all here because we are not all there. There will be a period of fellowship after the meeting. If you have questions, if you need a sponsor, if you need to check in or get current, or if you want to discuss other literature, please stick around for the fellowship. That would be a better time for these subjects. Okay, because it is the first Wednesday of the month, we are going to be covering steps 1 through 3. And if you have your books and you want to read along, you can go ahead and get it out and read along with me. So, on the title page, it states, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. It's incredible because this number today is in the millions. This program has helped millions of people, and it continues to grow. We get into the program, we go through the steps, and we live the steps on a daily basis, and then we in turn help others to get into the program and do the steps. And it's just a cycle, the continuous cycle of helping. That is what this is all about. All right, let's move on and go to the preface XI. And it states, Because this book has become the basic text of our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to recover, there exists strong sentiment against any radical changes being made in it. And if you think about it, in 1940, when this book was written, nothing's changed. It's still the original. So now let's go to the forward. Let's go to the forward to the first edition, XIII, and it reads, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experience will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all." Again, we are talking about more than 100 men and women. That number has drastically changed. And this passage, it discusses the mind. And the mind is the bigger problem, right? And how do we show them how we recovered? This book was created for that reason. This book was created to show us the problem and the solution. It was also created for those reasons and to keep us in that solution. That's the main thing in this, is keeping us into that solution. When we come into this program, we are hopeless, right? We have that state of mind that there is no solution. And for whatever reason we are brought to this program, we can find that solution in this book. Listening to other people's stories, we can relate exactly the way they felt, because we felt that way. Then when we think about it, if it worked for them, why can't it work for us? And so that's the main focus of this book. Okay, let's move on and let's go to page 59. And we're going to read step one. And it says, "We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable." I had someone once tell me that before Al-Anon and going through the steps with their sponsor, they considered alcoholism as a weakness. They thought they could stop, and every time they put a drop of alcohol into their body, they were weak. They didn't have that willpower. When you think of it this way, the amount of disappointment one would feel when they wouldn't listen to you and do what was best, it was heartbreaking. You became angry, resentful, hurt feelings, because they didn't do what you wanted them to do. And in our minds, what we wanted them to do was for the best. It was going to fix all the problems. After going through the steps, they knew it was a very serious illness. This was something that they had no control over. They were powerless over it and could not help themselves. Reading the book, studying the book, and doing the steps helps gain that perspective that there is a solution. It just goes to show you that if you are willing to do the work, you can change that mind thought that we've always had of them being weak to knowing it is a serious illness. We had to admit that we were powerless over our way of thinking, right? At what point did it take? The amount of time we spent trying to control a person, a situation, it was exhausting. At the time that we do it, we think that we are doing good. We know what's best, and if they would just listen to us, it would be fine. After doing it over and over and over again, we still had that frame of mind. After time goes by, what we are doing and saying becomes out of control. We know that there is something wrong with us, and we have to try and fix it. Funny, because all this time we're trying to control, now we're trying to control ourselves to fix it. and depending on self-will to do it. Going through the steps and doing the work, we are promised a solution as long as we put that the work into it. Okay, so let's move on. Let's go to the doctor's opinion page on XXVIII, and it's going to be that first paragraph, and it says, "We believe, as Bo suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, and the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, and once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve." So in the Al-Anon part of us, we were just so frustrated and angry and trying to change everything to the way we wanted them to act or change the situation to the way that we wanted it, that it started to change us. In our work life, things were chaotic. In our home life, things were chaotic. Our friend circles and situations, and in other ways, it became out of control. It was just our everyday normal thing. We were so convinced that we knew what was best for everyone. If we could just convince them, right? And what did this do to us? It changed our mind thought. It changed our obsession. The more difficult the situation was for us on having to control that, the more obsessed we became. All we wanted was for things to go our way, and we thought that we knew what was best. The amount of time and effort it took to try and take control of that person or circumstances became our way of life. We would win some battles, and we would be victorious, and that felt good, right? It felt good that we would win some of those. But then we would lose again. If you're trying to control a person, place, or thing, we're going to lose again. This in turn made us fight harder. If we fought harder, it would be okay. Then we started the circle over and over and over again. We just couldn't break it. Nothing we did was working. And when we saw that it wasn't working, we fought even harder. And in our sick minds, we were just trying to help. And in our sick mind, if they would just do what we wanted, or if things would go just the way that we wanted, everything would be perfect. Step one stated that we were powerless. We could not do this anymore. And we were at a point that we knew nothing we were doing was helping, right? We could fight and fight and fight, but after time, it became exhausting. All the amount of energy we put into trying to get our way or trying to help in a way was exhausting. At this point, it gets into desperation. And we know that nothing we do or say is going to change it. At this point, we knew that we were powerless. Nothing that we were doing was going to help the situation. Nothing that we were going to do that we were doing was going to change that person to the best way, which was our way. Okay, let's move on and go to that same page on XXVIII. And we're going to go to the bottom paragraph. And it says, "Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that, while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can experience a sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks. drink which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless a person can experience the entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. So in this passage, it discusses that they like the effect produced by alcohol. We liked having that control. And when it went our way, it was even better. I mean, we just loved it. We craved it. We knew what was best. If they only listened to us, the whole world would be perfect, right? Our world would be perfect. So we would fight and fight and fight with them to just listen. They could be with another, I mean, this could be with another alcoholic, a situation at work, something that's going on in everyday life that wasn't going our way. We knew what was best. So we would always think that our way was better. We manipulated and we became angry and overbearing just to get our point across. All because we knew what needs to happen to make our world perfect. We know what the solution is. So we get into the fight and we get into this vicious cycle of blaming and pointing fingers at them. We wake up the next morning feeling bad and remorseful about some of the things that we said. We feel honestly bad. And not only that, some of the things that we said and that we did to get our point across and get that person to change to the way that we felt was best for them. We would think about the situation all day and it consumed us, knowing that some of the stuff that we said was not coming from a healthy mind. The desperation and the obsession has become so important in our life that our minds are ultimately broken, right? And it becomes our way of life. This is something that we live every single day, trying to control that alcoholic, telling them that they need to quit and they just need to listen to you, and that thing that's going on at work, the people that are around us in our everyday life, if they didn't think like we did, well, you know, we've tried to take control of that. We didn't know anything else. So this became our norm. But deep down inside, we knew that we were out of control. We have to take a total change of mind and have that entire psychic change to know that the way we have been taking care of these situations or people is not healthy, and it's not helping. It's not helping our life. Our life has become a chaotic mess. I mean, that's why we're all here, right? It had become so chaotic that we knew in our hearts that it wasn't helping, and this was not helping anyone, not ourselves, not our everyday lives, or not the people that were around us. All right, so let's go on to the very next paragraph on the next page, XXIX, and it states, on the other hand, and strange as it may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems, he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol. The only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. So after a while in this destructive way of thinking, we knew that there needed to be a solution, right? This wasn't working and we were unhappy. Our life was just chaotic and no one around us was happy. We don't like to fight, but then deep and down inside we did, because we wanted that ultimate, solution. So life had become hard, and we believed in our heart of hearts that we were doing all of this to help. It could be to help other person, another person or a situation, or just everyday life. After a while, this seemed not to work. But how was this going to change? So this book promises that there can be a change. You could be in the most desperate situation, but after you have that psychic change, you could have a total change of life. Your mind can totally change. And I know it seemed, at the beginning, it seemed like this was impossible to do. But no matter what the desperate situation is, when you have that psychic change, your whole world is going to change. Okay, so let's turn to page 23, the top full paragraph. I'm just going to read part of that. And it says, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. This is a perfect example of our Al-Anon behavior. It is from our mind. Our mind is broken. Our way of thinking is broken. We're not thinking rationally. We are not thinking rationally when we are trying to control a person, a situation, anything. We know this to be true. We knew that we needed to change, and the only way to change would be to change our way of thinking. So it is in our minds that we have the issue. It was broken into thinking that everything we did was for the greater good. This way of thinking was not working. Nothing had worked thus far. So we ultimately knew that this was not the way, right? And just like an alcoholic, this centers from the mind. Okay, let's turn to the very next page, on page 24, and we're going to start at the first paragraph, the one that is in italics, so it's the first full paragraph. And it says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. Okay, a couple of things on this paragraph. So when this book was written, the founders paid for this book to be printed out of their own pocket. To put a passage in the book with italics meant paying more money. It cost more money to do this. And so if you see a passage in italic, you know that they wanted us to pay special attention to it. So while studying the book, reading the book, when you see that, pay close attention. Pay close attention to the whole thing, but the italic is something that it's like our bold print today, you know. So what this is saying is that we are powerless. Step one, we had no solution. Nothing we were doing was helping. Willpower to change our way of thinking was not working. We would say, okay, I'm not going to react that way again, only to do it over and over again. The amount of desperation we felt, eventually we knew that this wasn't working. Eventually we knew that something inside of ourselves was the problem. And we weren't finding the solution and trying to change the way that we thought of things and the way that we did things in our everyday life. It just wasn't helping. Okay, so now let's go back to page 59, I'm done with step one. So we're going to go on to step two, and it reads, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Here lies our solution. If if we believed in that higher power, it could restore us to our sanity. Okay, let's go to page 25. We're going to go to that bottom paragraph. Let's see here. If you If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life had becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best as we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. We're going to stop right there. Getting through step one, we had to come to the realization that we were powerless over our lives. And if we're in this program, or if we get interested or seeking, we're already at that point. We already know that we're powerless. Now what? Now what was the next step? Well, the next step is to believe that there is a higher power. Believe that there is something higher than ourselves. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to have a faith per se. All you have to do is that believe that there's something higher than yourself. And so once it came to this realization, we were able to accept that spiritual help. Our lives over time had become impossible, and we had choices that we could make. We had to change our way of thinking and accept the spiritual help. So number one is powerlessness. Number two is all you have to do is just come to the realization that there's a higher power, and that higher power could help us. All right, let's go to page 43. And we're going to go to the bottom paragraph of that page. And it states, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Again, at this point, we're here, right? We're here in this meeting. We're here with our sponsors. We're here doing the steps. We have already admitted that nothing was working. Better way of thinking, that our way of thinking was not right, because it hasn't been up until now, and nothing has worked. By believing in the higher power, there's somebody above you that might have the solution that you have so desperately been trying to find. But instead of you trying to do it, you know that there's something higher up, and then that higher up, that higher power, that God, whatever it is with you, as you understand them, might have that solution. We as Al-Anon think that we have the solution to everything. But over time, the thought we knew, nothing was working. As a matter of fact, it was just getting worse and worse. Our life was becoming more and more chaotic. Over time, we became so desperate that we're trying to find the solution in anything. Some of us go to counseling. Some of us go to church. Some of us go reach out to others to find a solution. In this book, when you are willing to put in the work and follow these steps and work with your sponsor, the book is promising us a solution. Right here in front of us, this book that we're reading today is promising us a solution. All right, let's go to page 45, and we're going to go to that first full paragraph. It says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find that power? Again, there's that italic on when it says power greater than ourselves. So we need to pay special close attention to it, because that's where our solution is, right there in that italic passage right there. This part of the paragraph states that lack of power was our dilemma. We were at the point that our power, as we perceived it, was just a thing we thought we had from our broken minds. Our way was better, right? If they would only listen to me, right? We thought that if we were in control and had that power, everything would be okay. Our dilemma was that we lacked that. We lacked all that power that we thought we had. So how do we find it? We will find it in our higher power. That will be our solution. And that will be our only solution. All right, let's turn to the next page on page 47. And we're going to go to that second paragraph. And it says, we had to have the willingness to believe that there is something greater. Let's do this again. Sorry. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assured him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. There it is. There it is in a nutshell. It really did not matter what faith or spirituality you are or we were. To do step two is to only believe that there is a higher power and that that power can change our broken minds. The higher power could change our way of thinking. This is what not only change our way of thinking, but reform that way of thinking to where we're dependent on the higher power and not us. This is what we were searching for, right? We are trying to find that solution, and we have come to know that there is something higher than ourselves. We were ready to move on to step three. So let's go back to page 59, and we're going to read step three, and it reads, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. Okay, so all of this time we have been playing God and trying to take care of situations and trying to take care of people where, you know, our way of taking care of them was to get them to change to the way that we thought was best. But once we come to this conclusion that we can turn it all over, we now had to turn it over to our higher power. At all this time, we had taken all of this and put it all on our shoulders. We had this huge boulder just weighing on us. We were obsessed. We'd wake up in the morning wondering what was going to happen or how we were going to take care of it. And we just had this huge boulder on our shoulders. We took on the fight to make any person see it our way, to try and change any situation in our way of thinking. Now we had to turn it over. What a concept, right? All this time, we have been carrying that burden of fixing everything that we felt was broken. This had in turn taken the focus off of our part. We were so broken, so obsessed, so consumed by what was going on around us, but we couldn't see the harm that we were causing. How would it feel to take all of that burden, all of that anguish, all of that way of thinking, and giving it to someone else and saying, here, I give this to you. I no longer want to do it. I don't want any responsibility with it. I'm giving this to you and trusting you will take care of it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the huge weight that you will feel? Step three is a very, very important step. The two, one and two just build up to that step three. We were powerless, we believed in a higher power, but to give that all to somebody else and say, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm done, I'm gonna give this to you and I'm gonna trust that you can take care of it. This boulder has lifted been off of our shoulders, right? A huge weight lifted, and it's a very emotional step to take. Okay, so let's turn to page 60. We're gonna go to the second full paragraph, and it says, our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Being convinced we were at step three, this is what we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? Okay, so let's get into this. A is step one, right? That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. We couldn't manage our own lives. And in this case, it was that we were Al-Anon and we couldn't manage our own lives. B is step two, that probably no human powers could have relieved our alcoholism. It couldn't. We were powerless, and there's no human that could relieve it. And that's when we take it to our higher power. And then C is step three, that God could and would if he were sought. So if we seek him, it could be relieved. All of this could be relieved. We had to release our will and our life over to God as we understood him. This was our problem. All the time, all of the energy wasted in our minds trying to control other people and other situations. Now we had the solution. This is an important realization to our journey. Okay, so now let's go to the very next paragraph. Let me see here, where am I at? It says the first requirement that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collusion with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most part, people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. It's forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballot, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangement would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, and the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. And trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. And I'm going to stop right there. So if you go, this paragraph is the perfect example of Al-Anon. We were the actor trying to run the whole show. We were trying to change everything. We had our minds believing that we were doing good. We would try and change the people's situations and other things to our way of thinking. How can we control anything or anyone other than ourselves? We can't. We can't. We can suggest. We can talk. But we can't really change them. We really believed that we could. And the more we believed it, the more unmanageable our lives had become. But we could move forward because it worked, but we couldn't move forward with it because it worked our way. Then everything would be perfect, meaning that we would keep going and keep going and keep going, thinking that this was good, but everything was not perfect. We knew that if it went our way, then it would be good. Life was good. Our way of thinking would be the only way to make things good. But how many times did it go well when we were arguing and fighting and trying to manipulate and control and overbearing to get our way? And how many times did it go good? It didn't. It didn't. We might win a few small battles, but ultimately it didn't help. So we came here to find the solution. We admitted we were powerless, step one. We admitted that we had a higher power, step two. And we released it to that higher power, step three. This would ultimately be one of the hardest things for us to do. We never trusted anyone or anything other than our way of thinking to help. Okay. So let's turn to page 62, the next page, and we're going to go to that bottom paragraph. It says, this is how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant art through which we passed to freedom. We admitted that there was something missing, and it's all right here. We had to find the missing link, and it's all right here. Our life is going to change at this step. We are giving it to our higher power, and now he's going to take care of it. We had to trust that God has a plan. We had to leave it in his hands and to take care of the people and the situations that we were trying to alter to our way of thinking. We had to trust that he had a plan, and that was his thing to do, not ours. So let's go to page 63, paragraph. It says, when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Wow, that's huge, a huge paragraph there. At this point in our journey through the steps, we have admitted that we were powerless, that there is higher power, and that he is the solution. This way of thinking, this new way of thinking, we were thinking about others. We were thinking more about others than we were ourselves. We wanted to contribute. We wanted to help. We wanted to be overbearing. We wanted to be controlling. By having the psychic change, it changed everything around us. We had a new way of thinking. We had a new peace of mind because we were relinquishing all of that to our higher power. We were no longer the actor, per se, trying to control it. And it states in this paragraph that we began to lose our fear of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This psychic change helped us to clear our minds and feel certain peace about us. Releasing all of that is just a certain peace, a new way of thinking, a new way of life, right? We have the solution right here, and what a huge, huge step to take. Everything changes after step three. Your life changes after step three. You have released all of that to him. He has the problem now, and he is very capable and willing to do it. He has that solution. You are no longer responsible for that. And that is your new way of life. Okay, so that is the end of the steps for this week. So I'm going to move on. And it states, seventh tradition, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. This group does not have a payment structure in place and currently requires no overhead expenses. If you would like to fulfill Tradition 7, please direct contributions directly to the Al-Anon World Service Office by visiting alanon.org. For questions about this meeting, or if you are looking for a sponsor, please send emails to alanonbigbookrecovery@gmail.com. Recordings can be accessed on YouTube by searching at Al-Anon Step Speaker in the YouTube search box. If you are interested in other Al-Anon meetings that follow the Big Book, please visit www.alanonbigbooksolutiongroup.org. Okay, a reading from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for those countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand Him. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Now, let's have a moment of silence for the Al-Anon who still suffers, followed by the Lord's Prayer as a prayer of your own choosing and silence. Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, this meeting is no longer going to be recorded.